speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Our text today comes from 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9, 10, and 11. Here Paul says, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Now, it would be impossible to overemphasize the importance of coming to a knowledge of the truth and maintaining a love of the truth. And it's that statement that's in this passage that we want to consider this afternoon, especially those who receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now, this is the principle that's set forth in the statement that we want to give attention to. And there is nothing so tragic as rejecting the truth and failing to have a love of the truth and sadly believing the devil's lie. For the consequence is eternal in nature, the terrible loss of your soul. And these things are clearly and forcefully set forth in this text that we've read, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9 through verse 12. There's a need to encourage the love of the truth, as perhaps it's greater now than ever before. Multitudes allow the love of the truth to be stolen by the deceitful means of the devil, and as a result, their soul is in jeopardy, and churches are led astray from their mooring. Our precious Lord wept over Jerusalem, we learn in Luke 19, verse 41, and surely the Lord must be weeping now. As the days pass by, love for the truth seems to diminish, and the number of those who have pleasure in error increases. Now, admittedly, there is a lack of agreement as to whom the man of sin refers in this passage. Many have seen it as the papacy, and others have tried to find certain individuals. But regardless who the man of sin was, he was after the working of Satan. And so it is now that we see the evidence of the working of Satan as never before. The working of Satan is characterized by deceit, which leads people to unrighteousness rather than to the truth. And that which is not according to truth is a lie, and people are believing a lie when they listen to Satan. The love of the truth, which the apostle said those people would not receive, stands out as very significant. It is one thing to know what truth is from the standpoint of facts, but it's actually another thing to have a love of the truth. If we truly love the truth, we will long for it, and we will buy the truth and sell it not, as the Proverbs writer suggested. And we will love that truth, we will stand by that truth, and we will be obedient to that truth. And never will love of the truth allow any effort to pervert it, to ignore it, or to get around it. Now, I said people may know what the truth is, but still not have a love for it, which is essential. People like this are prime candidates for being deceived and being led astray by a lie. When people are deceived into believing a lie rather than the truth, it's then that they may even have pleasure in unrighteousness, a deadly spiritual disease. And when that state is reached, God no longer restrains the individual, but rather gives him up to do those sinful things of error which he may desire. And that individual is allowed to go headlong into unrighteousness. But the sad thing is that this is happening all across our country. And he said the consequence is to be damned because one believed not the truth. That's the tragic and terrible consequence. And how useless and how senseless it is that otherwise sensible people will not receive the love of the truth as they might be saved. Yet that is exactly what is happening today. It's happening with individuals. Many people have never come to a love of God's truth. They've only heard error. They do not search their scriptures for themselves, as the Bereans did in Acts 17. They searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. And they have only heard error. Within even church, there are numbers of people who at one time seemed to have a knowledge of the truth, but have since come to have an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the truth. and that's simply an absence of the love of the truth. So we want to consider this afternoon, what is truth and how we can cultivate a love for the truth and the blessings, if time permits, the blessings that come as a result of knowing the truth. Now, the word truth is generally understood to mean that which is actual, that which is true to fact, that which is reality. It's that which is not false. And it's in this sense that we're using the word, what is true and correct, as opposed to what is false. And truth is highly important. It's highly important in the secular world, and it's highly important in a spiritual sense. The emphasis upon truth in the New Testament can be noted from the fact that it's used more than 100 times, as translated from the Greek word aletheia. Just a few references from the New Testament make it clear as to the correct answer to the question, what is truth? To put it in a nutshell, our Savior defined truth in the most concise way in His prayer to the Heavenly Father when He said in John 17:17, sanctify them through Thy truth, Thy word is truth. And then, in speaking to His disciples, He said that He was the very embodiment of truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, John 14:6. So Jesus is saying His words are true, and God's word is truth. And with regard to the truth, Jesus said to the apostles in John 16:13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit guided God's writers as they recorded the word of truth, so that it would be available for man in written form. And this is confirmed by the apostle in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, where he said, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And Peter, speaking of the Old Testament writers, said, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So God's word is God-breathed. 2 Peter 1:21. And in view of the fact that it is so clearly recorded that God's word is truth, you would think that one would have few problems among men as to what is truth. But that's not the way it is. If men today were asked a question, which was put to Jesus by Pilate, who said, what is truth? John 18:38. A number of confusing answers would be given if you were asked, what is truth? Some would say, well, there is no such thing as absolute truth. Subjectivism is what counts. That's what's ruling the day in religious circles. More and more people are putting their trust in what they feel is right rather than in what they sincerely believe rather than objective truth. God's objective truth is being cast aside in favor of feelings. And even though God demands sincerity on the part of those who would serve Him acceptably, sincerity alone never makes right that which is wrong. Even within the church, subjectivism has in more than a few cases replaced a thus saith the Lord for that which people used to look. And according to many, it's simply what I feel, what I desire, what I like. And there are now a great many people who are claiming that truth is being received by direct operation of the Holy Spirit. This would rule out God's Word from being all-sufficient, as the Apostle stated that it was in 2 Timothy 3:16-17. And those claiming a direct contact with the Holy Spirit often come up with things which are clearly contrary to God's revealed Word. And this would mean that God's Word contains only part of the truth and that they're getting directly something else. Some believe that the truth is found in the writings of men. And there are a number of books by various religious groups that claim that they are inspired. But these writings of mere men are not truth. And those who accept those creeds and those manuals as truth are denying God's truth. The only way to be safe relative to the so-called inspired writings of men is to apply the words of the Apostle Paul to them when he said, let God be true and every man be found a liar, Romans 3:4. So what is truth? It's God's word, as stated objectively in the Bible. And it is absolute. It's not relative. The acceptance of this fact is right. It cannot be wrong. As long as one is guided by this truth, that one will never go astray due to a lack of a true guide. Well, our next question, can we know the truth? We've seen what truth is. It's God's Word, and Jesus is the embodiment of truth. But if we cannot know what His Word says, as some contend, then we would be unable to reap the benefits which are made available through the Word. And just as we look to God's Word to learn what truth is, we need to look to God's Word in response to the fact that we can know the truth. Hardly anyone makes a claim that one can come to know all of God's truth. God's Word is of such a nature that you can spend a lifetime mining from it and never exhaust all of it. But the important fact is that we can know enough of God's Word to be made free from our sins. And we can know enough of God's Word to live in such a way as to receive that crown of righteousness which is laid up for the faithful. And we can know the truth. First, we note the words of Jesus to the Jews which believed on Him. He said in John 8, verse 31 and verse 32, "If you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, Jesus didn't say that we can know all the truth, or that you can't know any of the truth, but He does say we can know it to the extent needed to make us free from our sins. Ye shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free. We can be set free from sin. We can be saved. And to say that one cannot know the truth is to take issue with the words of Jesus Himself. But you know, some have been so bold as to make that assertion. Can anyone imagine Jesus saying, "He that rejecteth Me and receiveth not My words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day," John 12:48. And if it's not possible to know what His Word says, we couldn't imagine Him saying that we're going to be judged by that Word. But truth is so important, and we can know the truth. "And I advise, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth." I bid you a very pleasant good afternoon.